not sure I'm your person for this. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm pretty elementary in my biblical knowledge and still trying to learn about everything. I wasn't real confident that I was the right guy to be leading a group of sixth graders. So my name's Ben Haywood, 41 years old. I live in Polk City with my wife of just shy of 19 years and my two daughters, 12 and 8. I'm construction manager for Iowa State University. Been in the construction industry my whole life. Native of Northwest Iowa, and we've been in the Des Moines area for about 19 years now. So.
Well, hello, Hope. I'm Emily. I'm one of your ministers here at Hope Ankeny, and I lead the children and students team, which means I get the privilege of working with a lot of really fabulous leaders and volunteers like Ben Haywood, who you just heard from in that clip. And as you hear his story today, I think you're really going to like Ben. He really is the ordinary guy that he claims to be. But he has also been experiencing something extraordinary. And it's been a really fun month around here. I don't know if you have felt the buzz, but we have been sharing hope stories each week this month so that you could have a chance to hear how God is active and moving, working in the lives of people who might otherwise be seated right next to you in worship on a weekend. And it's just been a lot of fun to hear their stories. So Ben, I took note of his story starting last summer. I was reviewing the leader forms that were coming in. When somebody decides to join the student ministry team, they fill out a form that gives me their contact information and some of their background and their faith. And when I'm lucky, they also attach a picture for me so I can start associating faces and names, and then I can make these wonderful brag boards because I do love sharing with others how wonderful this team is, how special these people are. And so I was reviewing the forms, and when I read Ben's form, it caught my attention because I noticed that he was incredibly honest about how little confidence he had that he could lead students. And as I was looking at his background and his story, I just felt like the Holy Spirit was moving, lining things up, setting Ben up for an incredible encounter. I also, as I was reviewing his form, made a clerical error that Ben and I now both agree was actually a movement of God. So as you hear his story, you'll see if you agree with that too. When I met with Ben to hear his story, I asked if he would mind sharing some of what he said on that form that had first caught my attention, and tell you about the surprising night that he had when he showed up to leader training just a couple of days before we launched student ministry last fall. So take a look at what he had to say.
Okay, so I was filling this out. I wrote, about 18 years ago, our neighbors kept asking us to come to church with them. I grew up in a Catholic family and attended Catholic school, and I only went to Catholic church. That was 18 years ago. It's been a wonderful experience. I have not been involved in any other ministries. I'm not very confident in my biblical knowledge, and I feel pretty elementary. I've always wanted to join into something, but my confidence level has always held me back. I have felt a calling lately to take the leap. I saw this opportunity and feel like this may just be the opportunity I need to get me going. Not only that, but I will get to grow and learn with my oldest daughter.
So, awesome. Yes. Thanks for being willing to share that. So you had filled out this leader form. You showed up at the first leader training night. It was just a few days before fall kickoff. Yes. You're smiling already because yes. This did not go how you thought. Tell me about how that night went for you.
This went farthest from what I expected. So I kind of filled this out and I saw that there was a greeter opportunity and I'm like, oh, why don't I do this? It'll give me time to kind of get in there, see what stuff's all about, essentially just kind of hide in the background and kind of keep an eye and kind of maybe see if it's something I'd ever be interested in. So I just kind of fumbled back into the chapel there and sat down in the very back. And about that time, you started calling off the groups. and you said, I remember you saying 6G will be Ben Haywood and Jeff Glasgow, and I kind of, like, there's no way she just said my name, so I just kind of sat back and waited for everybody to leave, and then grabbed you, and I'm like, I think you called the wrong name, so. There was kind of a couple things in the moment I remember kind of running through my head. One was meeting Jeff, and I'm like, hey, seems like he's just an ordinary guy like myself. And then the other one was, this thought kind of came through my head at the moment. I'm like, maybe this is an opportunity where my daughter would be proud of me and like, hey, this is cool, or she's gonna be thoroughly disgusted with my decision. But so I kind of just like, yeah, why not?
I suspect that there are a number of people in this room right now who can relate to Ben Haywood. See, we a lot of times kind of get a reputation in the church that we are only interested in the most dramatic and overwhelming stories of faith. The ones that just grab your attention and seem too good to be true. And when you start thinking that way, you start to think that, well, my story doesn't matter. My story doesn't have any value. I wasn't released from prison. Nobody rescued me from an avalanche. I will just move along, and you can line up a speaker with a real story. But here's the thing. Those stories do happen. They are powerful, and people are moved in faith when they hear them. I mean, I've shared about my grandpa. He was a quadruple amputee from the Korean War who literally hiked in the Andes Mountains on wooden legs to share about Jesus. So growing up under his influence, I know those things are real and true, and they are powerful testimonies. But you know what? That's not how God works most of the time. Most of the time, God just isn't that obvious. If you think about it, most of the time, you have to be alert to notice the ways that God has been lining things up. Not in grandiose gestures of earthquakes and lightning, but in gentle nudges, in everyday accidents, in things that just line up just right to find the lost. And since we're going to be talking about lost things today, a story that popped into my mind that kind of fits that description is the time I lost my parakeet. Any bird people here? So my parents went through a bird phase, and they got me and my sister, both of us, parakeets. Mine was blue, and hers was yellow and green. And since eight-year-olds are really clever how they name things, my blue parakeet was named Blue PK. And hers was named Pretty Whistle. You can imagine what the bird did to get that name. So we loved playing with Blue PK and Pretty Whistle. We'd pull them out of the cage and hold them on our fingers and feed them from our hands and pet them. But our favorite thing was we didn't trim their wings because we'd turn them loose in our room and let them just fly around our room. And we thought that was the best. Until, of course, one day when somebody happened to open the door to our bedroom and Blue PK flies right out into the rest of the house. So I'm trying to get my bird back in my room, back in my cage. Come on, Blue PK, come on. And then, of course, just to make things worse, somebody opens the slider out to the backyard. And wouldn't you know that parakeet managed to weave between the curtains and fly out to freedom. And no cajoling, no whistling could get her to come back into the house. She flew over the wall, out into the neighborhood, and I lost my parakeet. And I was so sad. I grieved for that parakeet. I bawled, I cried. And then, because I was eight, by like 3 days later, I forgot that I ever had a parakeet. So, a couple weeks later, a totally surprising thing happened. My sister, who was just a kindergartner, she comes out of school and she's running toward me. She's screaming, she's yelling, she's breathless. Emmy, they found your bird! They found your bird, Emmy! I don't have any clue what she is even talking about. And then she finally gets to me and she catches her breath and she explains that there's this little boy in her kindergarten class and it was show and tell day. And he told this story, how he and his sister were playing outside, and a blue parakeet flew out of nowhere and came down and started playing with them, climbing on their shoulders, letting them hold it. So they brought the parakeet in their house. And they're like, Mom, can I keep him? Well, as my sister starts telling this story, all of a sudden it dawns on me, this is embarrassing. She was a kindergartner. I was a third grader. The little boy in her kindergarten class had an older sister in my class who had just told the same story at show and tell. And somehow I did not put it together that the blue parakeet that had flown down and loved playing with children might actually be the same bird that I had lost and been devastated over. So, long story short, I got my bird back. Not through some crazy miracle where I woke up in the morning and my bird was just back in her cage, but through this series of amazing coincidences that this brother and sister were so excited about a bird that came to play with them that they shared it at show and tell. All of the time that I had spent playing with my bird, so she loved being around kids. The fact that my kindergarten sister paid way better attention than I did during show and tell. All those wonderful little things that came together to deliver a miracle to an 8-year-old. Well, that is so much how Ben's story unfolds. It's relatable. You'll recognize yourself in the way that God put all the little things together. Hopefully, you'll be inspired to look back over your life and notice the people and the moments and the coincidences that brought you here, where we've been praying for you, that you will encounter the God who loves you. See, Ben's just like so many of us. He's not super confident in his Bible knowledge. He doesn't think of himself as a faith leader. But you know, at the same time, I don't think that Ben would think of himself as the lost sheep, our story for today. Because Ben, he's not a lost sheep. He's been with the flock his whole life. He's always been a church attender. And I think probably a lot of us feel that way too. I'm not a lost sheep. I'm right here. I'm with the flock. I'm at church right now attending worship, right? And probably most of you, I think maybe even all of you, are trying to be a good person. You're trying to be the best person you can be, which is awesome. I mean, at the very least, you can look at the person next to you and know that they are not someone who is out robbing banks on Sunday morning. So, you might think, well, there were those indiscretions of my youth. I mean, I was once lost, but now I'm found, right? You've been sticking close to the herd. You've been doing what you're supposed to do. And that's great. Trusting that you're with the herd can be great, okay, at least. But what if that trust, that confidence that we have, that we're just with the herd and that's enough, what if it's causing us to miss out on something even better, even more special? So let's just take a moment. Let's dive into scripture and see what we find. If you have your Bible with you or your Bible app, you can pull it out. You can turn to Luke 15. We're going to start right at the beginning of the chapter. And if you do have your Bible with you, I want to share with you this kind of fun trick that I love telling students about because it can turn anybody into someone who knows their way around their Bible. So if you have your whole Bible and you open it right in the middle, usually you will open to the Psalms. Look at that, I did. Now, if your Bible has like maps and indices in the back, sometimes it'll push you back a little bit and you'll maybe get into Proverbs or Isaiah, but pretty much like right in the middle there. You'll be right in the middle of the Old Testament. And then if you take the back half and you divide that in half, typically where you will land is right in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The stories about Jesus. So it's just kind of a handy trick to find your way around your Bible. Did it work? Yeah, pretty cool. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, go ahead and head to Luke chapter 14. And this story starts out with a little bit of context. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So Jesus' teaching has built a following, and that is putting him in conflict with the religious authorities. But as we read this story, notice Jesus does not dispute the facts with them. He doesn't try to say that it's different than what they're claiming. He knows his teaching has been attracting the wrong kind of people, and he has been inviting them in. So he's not defending himself or debating. He's not trying to say that tax collectors aren't sinners. He's not trying to say that having a meal together isn't a very personal and intimate thing to do. Instead, he tells stories. He tells three stories about lost things. There's a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. And those three stories have some things in common. All of the lost items are retrieved. They're all recovered. However, all of the lost items, that process of recovering them is costly. It involves taking tremendous risk or a tremendous expense. So when we hear these stories as people who trust Jesus, because Jesus is telling them, we tend to nod along and go, yes, yes, of course. Of course, a good shepherd would leave the 99 sheep and go get the one that's lost. Yes, of course. If I had 9 coins in my pocket, I would stop everything to go find the one coin that I lost. Yes, yes, of course, of course. An inheritance could never break a family apart. None of us have ever experienced that in real life. The Pharisees, however, would listen to Jesus' story with skepticism that we don't have. And they would notice that what Jesus is saying is not how it works. It is not how people behave. There is something different going on here. So let's take a closer look about the story of the lost sheep. And let's see if we can get a handle on what Jesus is trying to tell us. So in verse 3, Jesus is responding. Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them is lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? Notice where he's leaving his herd of sheep. Not in the barn where they're safe and protected, not even in the paddock where they're locked in and can't stray. He's leaving his herd in the wilderness. In the wilderness, that's absurd. The Pharisees would say, absolutely not, Jesus. That is not logical. That makes no sense. No sheep herder would do that. The 99 sheep are doing what they're supposed to be doing. You're going to go after the one that happens to be a sinner, notorious sinner at that? This shepherd that Jesus describes is crazy. Leaving a herd of righteous, innocent sheep alone in the wilderness, that herd is one startling sound, one predator, one mishap away from all of it being lost, from them being scattered. When the Pharisees heard Jesus say this, they would have caught each other's glances and rolled their eyes. No way, no one sheep is worth the risk of leaving your herd in the wilderness. And you know what? We intuitively know they're right. We know that this is true. When we're in the flock, when there's 100 of us, well, then that's worth protecting. That sheep herder is going to have time to find us good pasture, to battle off predators. We are worth enough to be kept safe. When we are together with the flock, we intuitively know that we have more value when we're with the flock. And that's why it is our default to think, I used to be a lost sheep, but now I'm with the flock. Someone else is the lost sheep, but I am with the flock. If I'm a sheep, I am the inherently more valuable sheep. And Ben, well, Ben was with the flock. He was with the flock in the Catholic Church, which gave him a solid basis for his faith growing up. He was with the flock when someone invited him to Hope, and he started connecting with God in ways that kept him coming. He was with the flock. He was not a lost sheep. And yet, even then, he did not have confidence in his value as a member of that flock. He got a nudge that he wanted more for his daughter than what he had, that he wanted more for himself. And so he signed up to help with Power Life. He even ended up accepting the call to be a sixth grade leader with Jeff Glasgow. Kind of amazing. And I have confessed to Ben, and I will admit to you, I did make an error on Ben's leader form. And I want you to know this. I didn't do it on purpose. Turning greeters into small group leaders is not how I recruit small group leaders. That is not on purpose. But the funny thing is that my mistake that I made was actually exactly the nudge Ben needed to pull away from the flock, to take a risk, and put himself just where Jesus would come and find him. See, we have this idea that we find God. We all tell stories about it. When I found God, we talk about seekers who come to church and we pray that when they get here, they will find God. But Jesus' story tells us something different. What Jesus' story is telling us is, you didn't find God. God found you. God has been tirelessly going after you, lining things up to bring you to him. And you didn't even realize you were lost. It takes humility to admit the obvious in Jesus' story, that all of us are lost sheep. None of us has the ability to find God out of our own capacity. For all of us, we have no hope of finding the master on our own. God finds you. So if you don't hear anything else today, I hope that you will hear Ben's biggest discovery about being a sheep. Take a look at what he says.
It's been pretty cool. It's been more than I thought it was going to be. So you kind of get to know these guys. I hear about a lot of different people from my daughter just being in school, and then, you know, I'm putting faces to them, and then you get to know them. You get to know their personalities, what they're about. I would say we were kind of a slow starting group as far as sharing, and everybody is, you know, you're sixth grade, you don't, still trying to be cool, I guess, or don't want to embarrass yourself. And as we've grown, it's been super cool seeing their personalities come out, and then just like their confidence and their ability to ask questions that are way beyond their years. And it's been pretty awesome. So I would say this year, as far as like my faith journey, my growth in Christianity, it was leaps and bounds above even my first 40 years combined. It's kind of given me a huge confidence in not having confidence. So I think a lot of it's been, I'm not a real confident guy, right? So it's, unless I feel super confident in it, I don't go in full steam ahead. Well, watching how the kids are thinking through things, and you can kind of just, when we're talking about stuff, you kind of just see them, you know, you can kind of see stuff clicking from time to time. And so it's just like watching these kids ask the questions they ask and put themselves out there like they do, but knowing they know very minimal about it, it's kind of given me like, I've been my biggest hold back over the last 40 years, and a lot of it's just like, oh, you don't want to put yourself too far out to embarrass yourself or whatever. So was watching these kids and my daughter and really just like reach out and try to grab things is, like I said, giving me a huge confidence in my lack of confidence. It's kind of funny because this is, I don't want to say, this is one of the things every week I actually look forward to going to. And it's weird because I just, honestly, I feel like I'm one of them. So we had a, 2-3 weeks ago, we had our questionnaire night where the pastors came up and everybody wrote down their questions. And some of these questions were just like, they were for a sixth grader. I was like, wow, these are insane. And then it was just cool because it was like, a lot of them were the same questions I have. So I'm like, man, this is great because I'm sitting here learning. I don't have to be the one asking the questions and help figure it out. And so there's been a lot of moments like that where I kind of feel like, honestly, I'm learning more from them than they're probably learning from me. So it's been pretty fun.
I love how Ben puts it, what he's been discovering. Confidence in not being confident. It's a different thing than where he started. He started just not being confident, not confident in his own capability, his own value in the kingdom of God. And now he's developed confidence in not being confident. So some of you might really appreciate exactly how he put it, but we do actually have a word in church world for what Ben is trying to describe or is describing: humility. It's humility. When you realize your value isn't connected to what you don't know, that your value is in who you're following, who's leading you. And Ben has been modeling that, he and Jeff with their group, all year at Power Life. So many of the leaders do. Asking questions, applying what they're learning to real life situations, and letting each other see their real selves instead of hiding who they are or what they don't know. In a world where young people are feeling more and more disconnected, where there's more and more pressure on them to create a persona, and it's not just on them, this is happening to us too. We feel that pressure to create that persona, to curate everything that anyone is ever allowed to know about us, that who we really are is never quite enough. And here, these students have this incredible blessing of spending time every week with leaders who just love being with them, who are willing to ask questions together with them, who keep faithfully showing up where the Savior will be looking for them. Having confidence in not being confident, it is actually a powerful gift of the Holy Spirit that a lost sheep receives when they encounter the shepherd. And in Jesus' story, that shepherd has defied logic by leaving the flock to come find that lost sheep. And look what happens when it's found. And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep." Don't you hear it in Ben's story? That's where he's found himself. What could be better than riding home on the shepherd's shoulders? And when that happens, we're usually taken by surprise, because we didn't realize we were lost. But then Jesus shows up and it's like, oh, you're here, I did it again. It's a humbling spot to be in, because my pride does not want to accept that I need the shepherd, that I can't do it on my own, that I need a ride. I mean, who gets carried? Babies? People who are weak or sick? I don't want to admit that that's me. I don't want to ride. But when God gives me the gift of humility like Ben's, then it becomes easy. Then I see, what better place could there be? Who would trade a ride on the shepherd's shoulders for being in a jittery flock, that's just vulnerable and anything could happen. Jesus showed us he values the one who wanders off. When the world says that the herd is worth more than the one, the good shepherd says, I will risk everything to come to the one who needs me. So have confidence in your lack of confidence. Your value is not dependent on being blameless or faultless or righteous, perfect. No, your value is knowing you need him, knowing that you're his, knowing that when you're lost, he's coming for you. That righteous, flawless herd, I mean, it doesn't have any value. Actually, it doesn't even exist. Not this side of glory. There's no righteous, flawless herd of sheep. There are two kinds of sheep. There are lost sheep who sometimes, oftentimes, don't even know they're lost. And there are sheep that are riding on the shepherd's shoulders. That's it. So I hope that when we realize that, we can be more willing, more confident to admit that we're lost too. Have confidence in not being confident, because it is a pretty nice place to be riding on Jesus' shoulders. Ben gave us a report of the view from up there. Take a listen.
In my life, previous to being a group leader, and then just kind of now, it's like I can look back. So my neighbor getting us to come to church, you know, he never did anything real profound, right? And so that's why I was always like, oh, you got to make this huge impact. And if I'm, you know, so that's always kind of been my thought, is you got to have this great story and this great impact on somebody. And I'm looking back in that, and then just there's been so many in my life. It's like nothing's been big to get me to any point in my life. It's just like, you're just kind of planting little seeds, you know? So like him every weekend, hey, come to church with us. And he was never trying to preach to me or do anything profound or big to me, just plant a little seed, and then eventually it'll kind of go. And so that's kind of where I don't want to say I'm doing that. It's something I've caught myself at times, like in conversations with people and things that are happening at work or outside. It's like, usually I just kind of shy back, but now it's like, hey, I don't have to say anything huge. You know, just sprinkle a little bit out here and maybe they'll grab something from it and start thinking about it later. And that's, I guess, kind of some of the cool things is what I'm learning is it doesn't have to be big. It just sprinkle a little bit here and there and you'll pick up on it. So, you know, I want to just be a greeter. It was just a seed to get me to come here to learn how to be a group leader, and here I am. What I've experienced in my personal life just by doing it and how it's helped me grow and learn and the desire to learn more has been pretty awesome.
Is there anything, any particular, like the most remarkable thing about having stepped into this role when you didn't anticipate that this was where you were going to be?
Oh man, there's so much. One, like I said, it's literally one of the top things I look forward to every week. And growing up, it was going to church was one of the least things I looked forward to every week. And so that's been awesome. It's like, man, I want to be there. I want to learn more. I listen to my Bible app on the way to and from church now. I've never done that. And it's, so there's just those little things like that. And then with Harper, my daughter, so it's been cool, like, seeing the growth from her. And I don't know if it has anything to do with me doing this, probably not. It's probably just more her coming here, like her want to learn about Christ and Jesus and just the way, you know. So it's watching her do it, and then just I think she probably knows more than I do about it. And so it's been a cool experience with her at home and with my wife, and I feel like it's just brought us all a little bit closer. So
Ben mentioned that one of the things that he was hoping might happen was that his daughter might be proud of him. I can tell you, I see those two come in to student ministry every Wednesday together. And they are always early, which is cool. They're always beaming. I guarantee you, Harper is so proud of her dad. But you know what? I don't think that what she's so proud of is his increasing biblical knowledge or the importance of his role in student ministry. What I think Harper is noticing is how her dad has grown in his confidence about not being confident. That instead of hiding his weaknesses, he's using them to serve others, to help others grow in faith too. It's pretty amazing. And you heard how Ben described how all these little things, people and situations and clerical errors, have come together to put him in just the right place to be found. And he keeps saying it. You hear him over and over again. It's not me. I'm not doing anything. But it is just that humble spirit that makes him exactly the right person for God to use to find more of his lost sheep. And hearing stories like his, I just think it's what's made this last month so amazing. Because, you know, theological background and Bible knowledge, like our preaching team needs that. But you know what else is really, really refreshing? To realize that God is showing up, that God is showing off in the lives of all his people. And I hope that you have heard that this month. And I hope when you have heard Ben's story, that you will take confidence in not being confident. Let the Savior put you on his shoulders and tell your story. Share what God has done in your life, the little things that have lined up that have led you to be found. Invite others into it where they can find the God, where the God can find them, the God who has been recklessly loving them and searching for them. So the worship team now is going to lead us as we get to sing a song that I hope you will hear in a whole new light this morning. Let's stand and sing about God's reckless love for you.